I'm a god.
You're a god?
Not you're a god. You have to say you're god.
Take two.
All right. I'll give the clapper. I'm a god.
You're god?
I'm a god, not the god. I don't think. I can do better than that. I can do better than that one. Hang on.
Am I supposed to respond after that?
No.
Oh, that's it. This is the whole thing.
I'm a god.
You're god?
I'm a god, not the god. I don't think. Was that better?
It's terrible.
Hello and welcome to episode 213 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany, and with me as always is
Adam, Vancouver, BC.
What is going on, Adam?
This right here, right now. All committed. I'm not going to, for a change, I'm not going to browse the internet while you talk this week.
What's the internet?
It's that thing on my computer.
Like Tetris?
Yeah, it's like I turn
Let's
on my
just stop,
computer.
Stop. Stop the charade.
Okay.
This isn't good. This isn't a good improv. No, we're going to keep going with the show, but we can stop this pretending not to know what the internet was.
Yeah, that was yours.
Oh, it was hilarious in 2001.
That was your idea.
Trust me, that killed Geechee Guy, killed with that joke.
Okay, all right.
What is the... We haven't talked about the weather in forever.
Oh, don't. Come on. Really?
No, because it is so cold and snowy here. I just got back in. I had to basically ride my Vespa home in the dark and the ice and the snow. That's the kind of devoted fella I am.
Okay.
And I heard it was like 22 degrees in Vancouver. That's what I heard.
Yeah, it's sort of springtime here.
Great.
We just kind of skipped winter. We didn't have it this year. I think everyone took a vote and said, nah, we'll take a pass on winter this year.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
You know who didn't skip winter?
Who?
Amazon. So if you want to buy all your... is it Indian Spring that you guys are having right now?
I don't know what you call it. Warm. Unseasonably warm.
What I'm saying, though, is like if you're going to plant your tulips now...
Right.
Buy them on Amazon through our site. That's what I'm saying to you.
Buy your tulips?
Can you buy tulips on Amazon?
Probably.
I mean, you bought everything else this week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Don't bother Googling. If you can buy your... What's the opposite of perennials? Seasonals?
Sure.
I don't know. Great. Buy them. click through our site and you help us out. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
All right.
T-shirts. Oh, yeah. Buy some T-shirts.
T-shirts as well.
Right. Not on Amazon, though.
We got a few reviews this week, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. On iTunes.
Wow. Are they negative towards you?
I'm kind of a push.
Really?
Yeah.
But they like me.
No, you've been replaced. That's what this show's about. Yeah. I'm actually just going to use it. It's going to be me and Siri on my iPad from now on.
Uh-huh. This is awkward.
Yeah. So, anywho,
all right.
it was good reviews, and then I guess there was a website, Digital Photography School, said the best 7 podcasts out there to check out. Here, check out these best 7, and we weren't one of them. I evidently we were number 8.
Right, just missed. Yeah,
right, but. More than one of our listeners did chime in and in the comment section and say, hey, check out the Two Hosers.
You're missing something.
Yeah. So what I was saying with the iTunes and the comment, we very much appreciate that because it helps us, get more listeners and expand the community. So thanks very much.
Right. Yes. Right. I second that nomination.
What? Did you shoot anything interesting? So that's it. That's what's going on?
That's it.
You're done. We can move on to the next section.
Yes.
Exif Oku.
Oh, you're starting a campaign to bring it back.
No! No.
A special little kernel for those who are listening from the beginning. Everyone just took off their headphones and went to sleep.
Yeah, let's Google that.
Yeah.
Okay, did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, I did not. I've been preoccupied with other endeavors, so, you know, photography. Well, I got a new stereo, and so I was kind of, you know, getting all that sorted out. So
how's the new stereo working out?
I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Does it go to 11?
It does. And I you know, I went the whole, like, you know, seven speaker surround setup. Like, I used to have five, new receiver, we'll do seven speaker surround. Yeah. So kind of like, all right, got to find some speakers to,
no, five is for suckers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I wanted
basically mono, black and white and mono.
But I wanted seven, because just with my room, the speaker placement wasn't the best. So I found a couple speakers on Craigslist. So here's another super awesome Craigslist story. Found a great set of speakers to complete my set for. Yeah, a pair of speakers at $400 retail, used for a year and a half, for $100. So I was very happy with that. Did my research, knew what I was looking for, and managed to find it. And it was a really nice lady who lived in my neighborhood, and she was just cleaning out her house. And I went right over and picked them up, and it was, it was great. And so I've hooked them up, and they are a massive step up from the other five I had. So,
oh, yeah. No, those are terrible.
Yeah, yeah. No, the other ones aren't bad. It's just these are definitely a step up.
Oh, the speakers themselves.
The speakers themselves that I bought. Yeah, five versus seven. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know when. I'm not an audio file, as they call them. So I don't know that it's, you know, it's a earth-shattering difference that people say it is. But it does fill the room nicely and evenly, and I do enjoy it. So.
So where do those extra two go? In sort of like right beside you?
Well, you basically have like two in the front and then a center channel. There's different configurations, but the one I went with is two in the front, a center channel, so three up front, and then two kind of at the beside you, like coming in at an angle beside you, wherever your viewing position is, and then two in behind you. So behind, beside, and then three up front.
And
then
point one is the woofer.
Is the woofer, yeah. So yeah. And then you can do a 7.2 and throw another woofer in there, but I'm not doing that.
Would you put that woofer behind you as well?
Yes, yes. Then one woofer would go up front and one woofer would go behind.
We are out of problems.
Yeah, so I'm sure we've now put everyone to sleep, but I'm into technology. I think that's what this says. I like technology. Yeah.
I don't care about the surround. I do like to hear the dialogue though.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I would like it if the actors would quit mumbling. That's not acting. Okay. Enunciating, guys. We know how it goes. And then two, I hate doing the sound mix for the sound mixer live while I'm watching it.
Right.
Because everybody whispers. And then bam, the car blows up.
Yeah. And every movie's a little different. So then you make some tweaks to your speakers and bring the center channel up on one and bring down some of the sound effect speakers down. And then when you watch something else, you're like, all right, well, now all I can hear is the center channel. Right. So, yeah, that part of it is a little frustrating. You can save a whole bunch of presets. So I don't know if I'll ever get that complicated, but you can. And so have one that's for movie and one that's for, like, you know, standard TV show, one that's for sports. And you can mix the speakers and their audio levels per speaker, and then just save them to the whatever the receiver has.
Sounds like this sounds like hard work, man.
Yeah, it sounds way too hard. I'm just gonna go with one.
Just go with the mono. Yeah. The center channel.
Yeah, I'm just gonna listen to everything in two channel now.
That's what. Well, that, also you're married, and I don't know if Lisa's like my wife. We want to have everything turned down to a volume level of one, and then every 10 seconds go, "What did he say?"
Yeah, no, I'm not like that. I rather make the room rock and let the kids adjust.
Maybe I should have married you. Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, now it got awkward.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Did you shoot? Oh, so I asked you, did you shoot anything interesting? You said no.
I said no. Did you shoot anything?
I shot a portrait of my son.
Okay.
Did I send that to you? I sent that to you, didn't I?
Just looking at it right now for the first time. Yes, it's a nice, cute picture of him tugging on his ear, or what's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know why he's doing that, but I just like the fact that he was looking straight forward.
Yeah, that's good.
So
yeah.
There's that. No, I ditched the window light. Like, everything's been window light, window light, window light. I can't stop talking about it. It's all I've been shooting. I haven't really gotten my off-camera flash out very much. Well, this year, for one. And today is, we're recording this at the very end of January. And I really haven't done much off-camera flash.
Okay. Well, this is clearly off-camera flash.
This is. This absolutely is. And I could not have been more thrilled with how this came out.
Okay.
We just painted our living room. So, formerly was a white wall, and we painted it, like, last week. And so, thus, I was eager to get out there and use it as a backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that is. That's going on. It's kind of a gray. I actually convinced my wife to paint my giant gray card on our entire living room.
Okay, now why, when I'm looking at this, like if you look on the wall in this sort of splash of gray, lighter gray wall, do I see all kinds of like weird texture in that wall?
Uh-huh.
What's going on there?
I think you need to see a doctor.
Some problem with your paint job.
Yeah. No. It's actually the finish on the wall. We have stone walls here, and they did that sort of California finish.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's on purpose, which I actually I like. It really lends to the photo. For me, it lends to the background, like, slightly out of focus, and it just kind of adds a little bit of extra oomph to the picture, in my mind.
Okay, I disagree, but that's okay. Yeah. Mm. Different taste here.
Great. So, I got this out. It was just me and him home, and I thought, man, he's cooperating. I by the time my daughter was this age, I probably had 6,000 to 7,000 different portrait setups, and I thought, wow, okay, my son has one, so I better get on this. And I got the two lights out. This is just one light. A bare light I guess technically not bare if I put a snood on it, but a snooted SB28 raked across the background, camera left, and then another SB28 in the softbox that we use. What's the name of it?
Q box. The Cheetah Stand Q box.
So I threw that in there. That's camera left, made sure I angled it in front so that the bulk of the light is actually landing in front of him.
Right.
And just use the feathered edge to get it right across his face, and blam, there it is. I this one will go on my wall. I happen to like this one, or one of the other ones from this session. It's the 8 or 10 of them that I kept.
Nice.
Whether it's this one or not, I don't know, but this will go on the wall. The takeaway for me is relatively speaking, like, once you're comfortable with two off camera flashes. Really a simple setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this, I think this is one of the ones that it can be, if you look at this can be very intimidating for somebody who's new. But I'm here to tell you that no, you can do this.
I do it a lot.
You do it a lot. But you've been doing this for quite some time.
Yeah. I tend to do this too much rather than just use the available light because I have all the stuff and like to play with toys. So kind of part of that is my obsession with the toys as opposed to whether I need to or not.
Right. I did a lot of that myself. And then again, with the new house, all the window light. And then I just thought, wow, I got to get this out and loved it.
Yeah. Here's what I like about it is that most of your friends can't do this.
No.
A lot of people can take, you know, whatever camera they've got, whether it's a point and shoot or a DSLR or their phone, and in great light, window light especially, take a nice photo, but your friends can't do this.
Wait a second. They don't do this. I'm assuming, like, just on a base level, I don't want to get too meta or too philosophical for you. Most of our friends could do this if they invested the time in learning.
A lot of time.
Well, 4 years to be exact.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 4 years and 213 episodes, 212 and a half at this point, episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish we were at the halfway point of this episode.
Oh, I'm bringing it home in a minute.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I have a topic that I wanted to bring to the show today.
Today? Okay, good.
Okay,
topic?
Ready?
Like for the whole
topic? No. It's not a topic. It's a talking point.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Costco.
Did you get prints done there?
I did.
Okay. Yay or nay?
Wow, I was happy.
Really?
Absolutely thrilled.
Are you like, are you not at odds with the inner snob though?
Again, this is a complete turn. I've been tearing it down not knowing what I was missing. And yeah, so I just got a bunch of 4x6s printed when I was in Costco because I figured, oh, I don't want to get any enlargements if the quality sucks. So I'll just get a bunch of photos. And I got a little bit of a mix of stuff. I wanted to see, okay, how do they do the white backgrounds? Because that was my big beef with what I was getting back from London Drugs. And then I got a few color ones. And so I printed, I don't know, 10, 12 photos, 4x6s in a range, got them back. And I was like, wow, like they did the white backgrounds well. Like, you know, I'd say 90% were exactly what I wanted. And then there was a couple where skin tones were off a little bit. And I was like, all right. And so then I decided I'll get a few enlargements. And so I got a couple of 8x10s and an 8x8. And how much do you think an 8x10 costs?
An 8x10?
Yeah, standard enlargement that everybody gets. How much would you figure to pay for an 8x10?
$47.
Okay.
I think I honestly probably would be like $8.
Okay. How about $1.99?
If you get, wow, really?
Yeah, really.
Hard to beat that. What about 8x12?
I think maybe $2.99. Like it's crazy. The prices are so ridiculously cheap. And I swear to you, the quality, like, you know, in terms of just my experiences in the last little while have been all London Drugs, which costs, like you say, you know, $8 for an 8x10. Mm-hmm. And again, they're supposed to be like in terms of the consumer printing, one of the best, right? And yeah, for a quarter of the cost, the quality is better. I was much happier with the print jobs that I got from Costco and the enlargements than I got from London Drugs at four times the cost. So I officially have retired my London Drugs photo shopping. I don't know what you want to call it.
Don't get too excited.
I'm done with them.
Before you do that,
yeah,
I do have I have a mission for you.
What's that?
You take the Costco prints you just got done.
Yeah.
You have to go back into London Drugs with them and go, hey, man, check this out. Look at these. Aren't these awesome? Didn't get them here.
Yeah. I'll you know what I wanted to do, because this ran through my head, as I wanted to take the same prints, because I did some white background pictures of Sarah dancing, and I just did some 4x6s of them, and I did some of her dancing, and then I did the exact same photos from Costco, and I wanted to go back and say, which ones do you like better? Well, they're the exact same print file. Which ones do you like better? Oh, and P.S., these cost a quarter as much. I think a 4x6 is 16 cents or 17 cents. Like, it's ridiculous. Really? 39 cents for a 5x7. Like, if you could tell that one was better, it would be, I would be okay with that. I'm okay paying for quality, but I'm not okay paying four times as much for an inferior product. And so that.
Wait. You're not okay with that.
I'm not okay with that.
Okay. It's a bold stand.
Yeah. I'm not okay with that. So anyways.
But on the way out of London Drugs, can you get a hot dog and a big pop for 90 cents?
Not that I know of.
See, no. Strike two.
Yeah. That's true. So anyways, I just wanted to say for anyone else who is a Costco member and is looking to try something with little to no risk, again, at the prices that they're charging, no real risk at all, try some prints at Costco. Thank you, Mike Kwa, who made that suggestion, because it is awesome, and I will be doing my prints from them from now on, or at least my personal prints. When I'm going to get something for somebody else, I might get it done professionally done. But again, from what I've seen so far, I'm not sure I even need to do that.
No. So. I think you just go get a like a bag from one of the professional places, get it printed at Costco and put it in that bag. And hand, oh, hey, I got this done.
There you
from,
go. Yeah. Spend premium dollar on
it's
these.
$12. Yeah. Don't I pass the savings on to you?
Yeah. No, it's funny. I got, I think, about 8 5x7s, and I got the 8x8, and I got the 8x10, and the guy's like, that'll be $6.03. And I was like, what? Yeah. $6.03. And I was like, all right, I'm robbing you right now.
Now I can finally afford two more speakers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right. Well, I got to tell you, it would have taken some. I like Costco, as we talked about before, you know, for certain things. You would have had to twisted my arm, if we're speaking proper English, to go and get my prints done there. Because the inner snob in me would have said, no, come on, you're joking. But now that's it. I'm sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try it.
Are they a sponsor?
No.
We get them to team up with Young Nuo and do a co-sponsorship. Okay. Underwrite the show.
Sounds good.
Okay. Photo challenge then.
Yes.
Light painting. Oh, hang on. You issued it. So what is it this week?
I'm going to say it's painting with light.
Painting with light. Oh, I put light.
Totally different.
Right. Okay, painting with light.
Yeah.
I guess. Let's look at the photos. Let's go with, we'll do mine first because I did a bunch of them.
Come on.
Oh, no, we're not going to discuss all of them.
Pick a horse, man.
No, I picked a horse.
Which one?
The one with the number 8 on it.
Oh, of course, the one with you in it.
Well, that's the one I did first.
Okay.
But I wanted to kind of mix it and tie it in. I didn't want it to just be light painting by itself. I wanted to do a mix of light and context. I had like 9 other ideas that were all way worse than this one, if you can believe it. And I had a lot of fun with this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I was going to. In fact, as soon as we finished the show last week, I was yelling swear words about "and your name" at the end.
Okay.
Because I was like, wow, why are we doing this? This is ridiculous. Had a great time.
Great. I'm glad to hear it.
So I'm going to get all my painting with light photos printed at Costco. That's what I'm telling you.
There you go. Fill a room with them.
So here's mine. Here's what I ended up going with. I had something else in mind, long story short, but which maybe I'll try in the future. But here's what I went with. And there was nobody around to help. There's no way my kids are sitting still to do anything involving this. And my wife was busy looking after my kids. So that unfortunately, it got to be me. And I thought, well, how could I have a picture, you know, of me and maybe it tie in somehow?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I came up with.
Okay. So what'd you do here? Explain how you accomplished this.
All right. Well, this is a 30... Well, first of all, I did like 200 push-ups to get those arms really jacked.
Right.
So... Like photographically, you want to know?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. No. So this is a 30-second exposure.
Okay.
And so what I got going on here is I have an off-camera flash, and because of the room I took it in, it's kind of a small room, right?
Yeah.
As we'll talk about, the whole show is about how to take these kind of pictures, the painting with light photos. But as you know, you need darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And the big room in our house downstairs that's empty. There's no blinds on it, and it was in the middle of the day, so I had nothing I could do. I couldn't block all the light out. So I had to go with my office, and so I blocked all the light out. But if I use a softbox, it was going to throw too much light on the background, and we would have seen way too much of the wall.
Right.
So it's in a snoot. So I got an SB28 in a snoot, camera right, and what I did was I put it on a 2-second timer.
Mm-hmm.
And had the remote, like the wireless remote in my hand, in my pocket, okay. Actually.
Yeah.
So I got set, hit the 2-second timer, boom, the flash goes, takes my photo at the beginning, but now we got total darkness. All I got to do is put the bat down on the ground, pick up the flashlight, and while the 30-second timer shutter keeps going, I can then write the number 8 on the other side of the frame.
Nice.
So this is all 100% done by myself, which kind of made it fun.
Now, there's two photos there that I'm looking at. One where I guess you see a bit of reflection or something, and then one that you don't.
Right. The one that you don't is the better one.
Right.
And then there's the one where I'm in it twice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I posted that. That was the fun part because that was the one I did that somehow the flash tripped a second time while I was writing.
Okay.
So you can see in there, that was sort of a behind the scenes. I can show you how it's done. Okay. It wasn't on purpose. That was a complete accident.
I gotcha. Okay.
But that's how it was done. And I use a little wind up LED flashlight, which I've always, the little wind up ones I find cool. So.
Nice.
That's how I did that.
Great.
So I think the takeaway here is A, it was fun, and B, it was a solo effort. So. My wife saw it and thought, wow, everyone on the team is going to want one. And I thought, no, they're not. I don't think that. I think she meant like a signed copy of mine.
Right.
No, but everyone on the team is going to want a picture of their own. And I thought, I hope not.
Yeah, you could just easily do something that looks similar in Photoshop in 3 seconds.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it does look cool, but if you wouldn't do this 23 times.
No. Ultimately, it would all be like I'd take everyone's picture, and then I would do it. Like, there's a certain, I don't know what, as the French say, in doing it, writing it on the, you know, the light painting. Like, I don't know if I could duplicate this in Photoshop.
No, you can't. You can't. It would be pretty tough to duplicate it, make it look authentic. Like it looks mm-hmm. like you did it. Like you didn't Photoshop it.
Yeah.
Just because it's not perfect, right?
Right. And this way, the sort of star filter look on, yeah, the hotspots, exactly. And
yeah, yeah,
and that. So I would probably do it. Like I would take everyone's photo, and then I would also probably do all the light painting separately, and then merge the pictures. But I'm not doing that either. So,
mm-hmm.
Sorry, guys on my team. Let's look at yours.
Okay.
And we'll show my other two after that I just had for fun. So,
great.
What's going on here? How did you do this?
This is two lights. So my son had this little finger light. Like it's a little green finger light you put on your finger, and it's almost like a very sharp beam of green light.
Uh-huh.
And so
why does he have that?
I don't know. It's like kind of one of those loot bag things from a party or something.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, and you can get different colors. So they, at one point they had 3 or 4 in different colors, a blue and a red. But anyway, so he has the green one. So I said, oh, okay, there's something I can draw with. And then, I did a very long exposure. So I think this is 25 seconds or something. And then I took the little, green finger light thing and basically drew on the lens of my camera. And then while I'm doing that, so I'm sort of, you know, just tracing around in circles, I have my iPad with a little softbox app that has all different patterns on it. So I picked a swirly pattern. And so I kind of got one hand holding the iPad behind the camera, and then the other hand with the... with the little laser green light in front of the lens. And so I'm drawing with one hand, and then I'm sliding the iPad back and forth behind the camera. So that, you know, basically circular pattern that's sliding back and forth is the iPad with the circles drawn on the camera lens with the other light. And there you go. That's it.
So it's moving back and forth in the background?
Yeah, I'm kind of sliding it back and forth. So it's just one circular pattern, but I basically, in the 25 seconds, because my brain drawing circles and then sliding the other thing back and forth, like that's a patting your head and rubbing your tummy kind of situation, right?
Uh-huh.
So I got my other camera on the tripod, and it's, you know, again, I did the 2 second timer, it's going, and then I'm trying to, with my right hand, trace the circles, with my left hand, slide the iPad back and forth, and it creates kind of a neat effect as the background. And I just wanted to match the green, so green and green. So that's what I came up with, is kind of a, I don't know, like a spy futuristic kind of looking shot, which I quite like. And it's and I did take it into Photoshop to blacken out, because with the 25 seconds, the table, like I have it on my dining room table, which is kind of a little bit of a redder finish, so I could see a little bit on the table. So I did go to Photoshop to just try to black that out. So I don't know if you can see any of that, but
no, it looks good.
But yeah, did that, and the rest is in camera. So
this does look like it should be like part of the like a cyber spy kind of scenario. Opening credits for something.
And you know what the funny thing is I probably tried 15 times, and all of them are just terrible. For whatever reason, this time worked. Mm-hmm. And so I was super happy because, again, I was failing. And you said you had a ton of fun. I was just getting frustrated because I did it like an hour before we were set to podcast. So I was like, oh, man, I'm having a hard time. And then I was trying to just write on paper. I had sort of a setup where I had a paintbrush and a piece of paper. And I was trying to write, I love two hosers, but I couldn't get it to, with that little green light I had, it wasn't intense enough that unless I was in super close range, it wouldn't make the tracing of the light dark enough. So I was just, I was getting frustrated. This was harder than I expected. I thought this was going to be easier than it was.
Yes. I actually did mine yesterday and today as well, because I was stumped the whole week just thinking, oh man, like what am I going to do here? You know, out of your comfort zone. And then I also thought, yeah, no problem. I got this. It's painting with light. We can do that.
Yeah.
It's hard to make it look good.
Yeah. And like I said, never having really tried it, I didn't really know, you know, where the exposure had to be. So it was a lot of fiddling around. And I wanted the camera to show up enough that you knew it was a camera, but I didn't want too much to show up. And so like you say, and every time you do it, it's 25 seconds of trial before you're like, oh, darn it. That's not what I want. Try again. Right. So yeah, after 20 tries, like, you know, it takes a bit of time. So
yes,
was happy with the results. I like yours as well. So,
and better next time. Well, like I think, well, that's the thing is after I was done, I thought I'm actually going to try some other things, like, because I wanted to try to mix light. So that's why I had the flash on me. But then I thought, you know what? What if I paint one completely with light, like just with that little LED flashlight? And right. So I took my daughter's wooden Leica that my dad made, and I put that down on a tabletop, again in the dark room, and I proceeded to then light it with just with the LED. And okay. then the same LED then becomes the circles in the background.
Okay.
So I spent part of the time.
How did you make the circle so sort of even? Are you swinging it around or something?
Well, I'm just using my arm's length. I never bent my elbow.
Okay.
And so I just moved it around, because at first I was started doing. Well, we'll get into this actually. We'll talk about it when we talk about how to do this. But so I painted the camera for 10 seconds, kind of moving it around. I'm actually doing the motion that I was doing right now. You just can't see it because it's an audio show. So imagine I'm painting a word picture that I am kind of moving the little LED light kind of in around behind and occasionally right on top of the camera.
Right.
But most often behind, kind of to light up the desk around it as well, create that shadow of the lens creates. So I do that for like about a 10 Mississippi, and then I started adding the circles in behind.
And you're going fast.
Not crazy fast.
Your arm is a windmill.
Sure, if it helps you. Yeah. And then I thought about it. And I was like, oh, you know what? This totally reminds me of, oh, like something orbiting the Earth on a show of Earth orbits or something.
Right. It kind of makes me think of like Star Trail stuff.
Right. Yeah. And so I thought, well, for Christmas, my daughter got a globe. So we could explain to her why it's dark in Canada when it's light here in Germany.
Right.
That's without a globe. That's a fun conversation to have with a 3-year-old, by the way.
Yeah.
Just because. Now eat your cereal. All right, let's go. So she got a globe for Christmas. And so I went and got that. I thought, this is going to be awesome. And it lights up. Like it's got a light bulb inside it.
Okay.
So I thought, oh man, this is going to be great. So I fired that up and basically balanced the exposure, the timer, like the shutter speed.
Yeah.
To expose for that properly for the globe. And then all I did was the orbit in behind.
Right.
Now that I'm looking at it though, earlier when I first did it, I didn't see that you can actually see one of my pictures hanging in the background. Now I can see it.
Oh, I can't see it.
Yeah. It's terrible.
So So you're okay. On my screen, you're okay. I can't see it.
On the higher contrast, you can't see it. So anyway, these don't need to be discussed other than the fact that I did have a lot of fun with it, and I'll probably do some more of this just for the heck of it.
Yeah, it's fun. And you know what? When you don't have an interesting background, I could see, you know, doing this sort of thing like you did for the portrait. Or, again, like I did one a long time ago with my sister-in-law where I used the iPad as a background trick for a picture of my sister-in-law where, like you did in your challenge photo where you trip the off-camera flash. And then it just fires at the beginning of the shot. And then you can kind of paint whatever kind of background you want in behind them because you got, like, you know, whatever, 18 or 20 seconds left to do that. And I used the iPad in a similar way that I used in my challenge photo just to create an interesting background. So, I mean, your sky's the limit, man. You got an imagination. You can do all kinds of crazy things. I saw a lot of pictures on the internet where people kind of had light, where they explained it as putting a light on the end of the string and creating sort of, you know, basically circular kind of cool circular patterns just by swinging it around the light on the end of a string. So lots of little tricks that I think people can try.
Lots of options. So how do we do this? So what, first of all, what does light painting mean? Painting with light. Sorry, Adam's calling it painting with light.
Yes, I am.
So
what does it mean? I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I think so too when you put it that way. And when you first proposed it, I thought about it and thought, because you said, that's kind of a gimmick, and I agreed, and still sort of do, but not really, not as much anymore.
Okay.
Because gimmick sounds negative, but you said it's a gimmick, and I thought, yeah, it's kind of a, like, it's probably a new thing, you know, like the last 5 years, you know, who was doing this, you know, Matthew Brady wasn't doing this, and so I thought I'd look it up, and it turns out they've been doing it for a long, long time. Way back. And I was going to look at the history, but there was like a lot of writing, and I thought, oh, wow, no one wants to hear me just read Wikipedia.
Right.
So go ahead and read Wikipedia yourselves. But it's been going way back. Like even Picasso was somehow involved in some project where he was doing this way back in 1949 or something like that.
With his LED flashlight?
No, he had a compact fluorescent back then. Yeah. Come on. LED's pretty new.
Right.
Speaking of which, remind me to talk about LED lighting another time. But not now.
Okay.
Mark it down. So they've been doing it for a long, long time. But I think it's really kind of achieved a renaissance now with digital because really anybody can do it. Because of the real, like, what would you say the most probably popular, most effective technique is? I'll just say trial and error.
Sure.
You're not going to go out there and meter this.
No.
You know? So it's a lot of just kind of trying, see what works, and adapt from there. So first off, the two different, I guess there's two main different styles or different kinds of painting with light that I found on the internet anyways. And that's the one is the graffiti style where you're kind of actually writing with your light like I did.
Yeah.
Or there is the actually lighting an object or person or whatever, but lighting a subject with the light itself, which is what you did. And I did it a little bit in one of my fun ones. So you have to decide, you know, which one are you going to do? And I like the idea of doing the writing. I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So first step, what was your first step in doing this?
For me, I needed to make sure that I could get a exposure long enough. So first step was like I knew I was going to need a
backup. Okay, but and what does that mean?
It means I was going to have to make it very dark.
Handheld.
No.
First step, go get your tripod.
Right.
That's you absolutely positively need to stabilize the camera because you are looking at a long shutter. So get your tripod, lock her down. Now you want to get a long shutter. Now, depending on what you want to do, you're looking at like 15 to 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I found 30 seconds was a bit long. I usually accomplished it between 20 and 25 seconds, but that extra 5 seconds didn't really matter because I had a completely dark room.
Right.
So there's none of that light is getting in.
I did not have a completely dark room.
Ah, see, that's what you want.
I was able to, because again, I did mine at whatever 11 in the morning, I guess it's still before lunchtime. Uh-huh. And there's too much light coming in even through the cracks with the blinds drawn and everything else, so I ended up having to use the variable density filter, the one that I bought way back when. So that's the other way to get it dark enough.
Well, I will caution you on that though, because that will cut down the actual light that you're that you're painting with.
It will, yes, yeah. But at least you can get it dark enough where you're going to get a 25-second shutter.
Probably easier than buying the exterior rolling shutters that we have here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, it was easy. Like making a dark room, like it was. I mean, it wasn't dark. Like I wanted to develop photographs in it, but it was dark, dark. In that, I stubbed my toe. That dark.
Right.
So it's great. And that way, it's the same kind of thing. It was like you know, the crack of noon, and so still pitch black in the room worked out great. But on top of that, though, I still stopped all the way down to somewhere between f/16 and f/22.
Yeah, I was right at f/22.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought about that. I thought, you know, if I didn't have the roll top shutters, yeah, I would use the ND filter. But why not? I mean, let's say you had a dark room. What's wrong with an f 2.8?
If you had a real dark room, what's
if it's
wrong
dark,
with it?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, I should also say I was shooting at ISO 100.
Right.
So I was trying to let in as little light as I could, but I mean, really, I would not have got an exposure in the dark room even at f/2.8. So why f/22?
For me, the f/22 is just because that's what I needed to basically drop the light enough to have the long exposure.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure why you couldn't do it if you had a completely dark room. It just would be nearly impossible to get focus. But I guess if you turned on all the lights, got focus, mm-hmm. and then turned off all the lights again, I don't see any reason why you couldn't use an f/2.8.
The LED light would burn in really fast at f/2.8.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And so at f/22, I found that between 16 and 22, it gave a kind of a nice exposure for the LED light when you're pointing it at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
If you're actually painting it onto your subject, all it would mean is that you paint it for less time. But at f/22, you're going to actually have to paint it for a good 10 seconds to make sure there's enough light mm-hmm. for an exposure. Now at f/2.8, you just do it for 1 second and be done with it.
Right.
Probably not going to notice the difference, but if you're going to see it. So that's where I end up going doing. Tripod, long shutter, dark room, low ISO, stop down. Boom. Now you're ready to paint with light. Okay?
Yeah.
Now what? Now I left the shutter open and just went crazy with it.
Yeah.
And I tried it before I did anything. I just did, you know what? I'm going to do a test subject. Nothing in the photo, just a bunch of the straight graffiti. And yeah, you could do it. You could make a picture just like that. No real reason to.
Yeah, and a lot of people do. A lot of people just do that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it takes a little work to make it interesting, I think.
Yes.
Like you have to actually then bring something to the table. A whole bunch of squiggles, you know, isn't going to get you an Academy Award.
No.
So, I wanted to include light painting and a subject just to give it some context.
Right.
The problem I had, and I didn't solve this problem. I mean, I sort of solved it by putting my baseball number when I'm in the baseball photo, but I kind of wanted the graffiti to mean something, to somehow tie into what I was doing. You know, right. like maybe I'm, you know, shooting laser beams out of my fingers or something good like that. I found that very difficult to do by myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I was shooting somebody else, that might have been a little easier. I could have actually done that, but when it's by myself, I couldn't do it. So yeah, I wanted to add context. What about colored light? How would you end up going about coloring your light source?
Good question. I'm not sure. In my case, I just chose green light.
I would reach into my gel pack.
Ah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you could put it over a flashlight or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the LED kind of comes in at sort of a bluey-looking light, the one that my flashlight does anyways. And I considered, you know, I was, oh, okay, maybe I'll add a color to it. You know, if I was doing it next time, it didn't really matter for the number 8. Like, it was more about an exercise and, hey, here's what this is.
Yeah, that's a great idea because that never occurred to me. So I'm glad you bring that up.
Well, I also thought, hey, if you have one flashlight, what you could do is, you know, if you have 30 seconds, basically, you know, take the bare flashlight, run it across a couple times, throw the red filter on or red gel a couple more times, and then, you know, maybe a you know, blue one or whatever, and get different streaks within the same frame.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you could do.
The softbox app that I use has, you can change the designs to whatever color you want. So that's why I just chose green because I knew I already had the laser light in green. So I just matched it up. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So you can pretty much you play around with that with the iPad app and get whatever color you want to. So no gel required.
So my suggestion though is figure out what your pattern is going to be ahead of time. Because when I first did it, I was just doing a test, and I was just writing squiggles all over the place, and I thought, well, that looks cool, but it's just squiggles. Like, what do the squiggles have to do with my wooden camera?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing.
Right.
Now, circles, however, still nothing, but it, like, there's some effort there, it looks like. Like, yeah. I meant to do that. You know?
It looks cool, yeah.
You know, but the squiggles look kind of silly. You know, but what was good is when you're doing this, the speed at which you move the light around when you're pointing it at the camera dictates how long, like how much it will burn into your image.
Right.
So if you just hold it still, it's going to start burning in, getting brighter, brighter, and bigger, and kind of flare out. If you move it very quickly, now you get different little wisps, and you know, so you can actually vary the stroke length like you would like with you know actual painting. You can vary the stroke width and the thickness, essentially, of your painting.
Right.
Kind of cool. Fun to experiment with. So I kind of messed around with that a little bit in a few of them that I didn't post. But that's, to me, that was the really fun part of the digital part of it, was that you can just experiment, see it right away, and go, well, that's terrible. Let's do this. I'll try this and get instant feedback and just roll with it.
I agree. And I think for anybody who might be interested in product photography, I think that this is a technique that, you know, makes your photos stand out, right? Like they just look different and they look cool. And I think people will look at them longer as a result. Like you took that exact same picture of your daughter's toy camera minus the squiggles. I think it's like, all right, you look at it and then that's it. You know, like 2 seconds, all right, wooden camera versus with the squiggles. You think, hey, that's kind of a neat effect. How did he do that? And that definitely, you know, makes it more interesting.
Especially if it's a combination of the painting it on technique and the graffiti technique.
Right.
I like the combination. You know, and moving forward, I'm going to explore a little bit more of how to paint with the light. You know, and kind of, because I saw some of the results that people have been posting and thought, that looks really cool. You know, like Matt did a cool thing with the glasses. I don't know if you saw that on our Facebook.
Did not.
His looks really cool. Some really nice patterns in there, different colors of lights. So it's really kind of a cool thing. Now, one of the other things that I think I'm going to end up trying to do is paint an object existing in a scene already. Like I might go outside at night when it warms up a little bit. This is kind of crazy weather, but go outside at night and find somewhere where I can get a long exposure and get a proper exposure, but the subject is still going to be dark. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a tree painted in bright green or something.
Exactly. So maybe you have the city lights in behind are all going to register if you expose it, you know, for 30 seconds, get that to be a proper exposure, and then the tree will still come in as a silhouette. Now you can go in and actually paint on that tree. And paint some, you know, whatever it is you want to do. I mean, I hadn't thought of a tree. I had somehow thought of a cougar. I don't know why. That was the way I was going to go. But that can be a lot of fun. And maybe combine the two techniques again, add some graffiti or have someone else, you know, someone else hold the graffiti light and do it at this exact same time. Make it a, you know, collaboration.
I like where you're going there.
Yeah. So next time I'm home, that's all we're doing, a whole full week of these, you and me.
Yay.
Woo! That's it. Any more questions on how to accomplish this?
No. Go out, get out there and try it.
That's the best of it. We basically just did 45 minutes on trial and error.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what we did. Well, but we're really good. We're quick learners.
Learning it seemed like a lot of work.
Yeah.
So there is that. The cool part to me is that I think you can make it look like Tron really easily.
Yes.
So do it.
All right.
Next week's challenge. I have one.
Great. I'm sick of carrying this podcast.
Well,
see if you can do better, Siri.
just simple. It's just portrait. I got inspired because I took my son's portrait this week, and the plan is I don't write it down in ink yet, but I think we're gonna have a portrait lighting lady. PLL, is that her title?
Sure.
PLL.
PLL.
Is lady or woman? What sounds better?
I like lady.
The PLL. The PLL's coming on. Maybe that's the plan. We're gonna try to have someone on us get this as soon as the scheduling works out. So hopefully it's next week, and we'll talk about she can rip our portraits apart.
Great.
So that's the challenge next week. Website's Adam.
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Wonderful. And mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything we just talked about for under an hour, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's new.
First time in a year and a half.
All right. Let's not spoil it.
No, I got another 30 minutes on airplane food. So buckle your seatbelts.
All right.
Until next week, get out there and make better photos.